Is it right you do a whole podcast about keeping up appearances?
Yes.
Wow. All about keeping up appearances.
It's niche.
Yeah, listen, people love niche.
People love niche and people love keeping up appearances.
There you go.
That's that.
You right for it.
It's saying it's not responding. I don't know. That's when Bob started recording. I might just have to go in and out again. Give me a minute.
Carl, do you know that you're doing any given Saturday?
Right, okay. I was just going to search for fishing on Google then, and I was about to type in any given Saturday on Google if that was going to help me.
I don't think we're there yet, Carl.
Yeah, no, maybe not.
Might do. You never
might
know.
Might do one day, yeah. I've been having big thoughts over this weekend about how we can expand. I think next season, aim me out, and I know
I'm going to say no because you just said hear me out, so it's a no from me.
Okay, all right.
Go on.
I'll keep it to myself then.
Do you want me to pick that obscure teams and players now, and I'll give you and Bob the answers?
Oh,
and you just go to that. Yeah, is it? I think for like the first season of the Friend.
Yeah, last week, Bob. Your second game is ridiculous.
Yep.
How mad was that?
I can't believe you thought that was a good idea. Even when you said the players, Callum and Tosh were like,
yeah, give us a clue, exactly. Give us his name, and we were still like, I don't know who it is.
Right, go ahead. Ready?
Ready? Have you done your any given Saturday, Tosh?
But yeah, this Callum was supposed to be you.
Thought it, mate. Have no fear. I did do it whilst you were scrambling to get your Zoom fixed. Like,
honest to God, what a joke that was. Honestly, it's just pathetic. It said that because it said it's recording, and then it stopped my thing. Said it's like, you know, that classic, you know, it's not responding. So I clicked out, logged me out of my Zoom, made me log in, made me verify a code, and then it kept saying I was already in it. So I had to go to my emails. Which it logged me out of to get a code, which then said, so I got put the code in, it logged me into Zoom, and then every time I clicked the meeting, it wouldn't start. So I just restarted my computer.
I think this is why all the top podcasts use a studio.
Yeah. No, Tosh, you get locked out the studio, though.
I see. Ready? So welcome to this week's episode of Keeping Up Appearances. We are back with a full squad for the whole episode, which we are very pleased to have. We're into the last few episodes of the season, so we're looking to end strongly. And to start off, we will go straight to any given Saturday, which I've prepared this week. And prepared is maybe a loose term, but we've got it. Two good games from the 30th of August, 2014. So, first game is West Ham 1, Southampton 2.
Did one of the Southampton players enjoy having conversations with his water?
No.
Did one of them play for Liverpool?
No. Do you reckon that's the most common question on any given Saturday?
The Liverpool one or the water one?
Yeah. The water one's a close second, I think. The Liverpool one, did he play for Liverpool?
Yeah, probably, yeah.
Seems to be asked a lot, doesn't it? Yeah, no, he didn't, no.
Did the West Ham scorer definitely vote Brexit?
Almost definitely, yeah.
Was it a pen?
It could well have been, but I don't know.
Is it Mark Noble?
It is Mark Noble, yeah, correct.
Did one of the Southampton scorers share a name with a football icon? Arguably, is he the highest scorer of all time?
Pardon to him.
The Southampton one, yeah. Or the other one?
Is it Graziano Pella?
It is, yeah. To show how underprepared then, by the way. It was 3-1, but it was two scorers for Southampton. So you need one more Southampton scorer who scored two goals.
Did you pick him for best championship players to never make it in the Prem?
No.
Who was that?
Charlie Austin.
Oh, yeah. Did he play for Rangers?
No, I'm pretty sure he didn't.
He's not Northern Irish. It's not Stephen Davis.
No, no, and no. Yeah.
Is it a striker?
No.
Winger?
No.
Did you want Everton to sign him?
No.
Oh, yeah, just ruled that out by that previous question.
Is he a centre mid?
Yes.
Did he come through the youth ranks at Barcelona?
No.
Did he go on to play for Everton?
Yes. The answer to Bob's question was probably correct at the time and in hindsight.
Did he play for Everton? Was that correct as well?
Yeah.
Wait, which was Bob's question?
Did you want Everton to sign him?
Oh. I was thinking Morgan Schneiderlin.
Correct. Morgan Schneiderlin scored two that day. So Southampton three, West Ham one. Schneiderlin two goals. Graziano Pelle one. And Mark Noble, doing it for the lads, got West Ham's one. Second game from the same day was Newcastle 3, Crystal Palace 3.
Oh.
3 for each.
Mess of me, Callum. Six goal scorers. Joker.
You better be obvious.
Palace ones. Yeah, the Newcastle ones are not quite Bob level, but.
I'll ask it anyway. Did one of the Palace scorers represent South Korea?
No.
Ah.
Did either of the Palace scorers have a similar sound and name to another Palace performer player who played for Palace?
What?
That was the most confusing question I've ever heard.
Are we working in riddles now?
Oh, no, I need the invigilator to read that again for me.
I decided to change my question halfway through. And I can't remember. No, it's the same person I'm thinking of. It was because he was the answer the other week and Bob linked to something. Let me think. Come back to me.
It's okay.
I don't think we can.
Is it James McArthur?
No.
Is it James McCarthy?
No.
Did one of them score two in Istanbul?
Yeah. Yes.
It is shown, yeah.
Definitely scored one.
Is it Dwight Gale?
Yeah.
You should have done a more tosh question there and mentioned some form of weather.
Or a Gale character. Platt. Yeah.
Or Dwight McNeil. So you've got one Palace scorer.
There's another Lisa Lina. Is one of the Palace scorers one of Everton's biggest wastes of money ever?
No.
Is he mentioned in your book?
One of them, yes.
Wish I'd have read it now to know.
Yeah. So that's what everyone's thinking, probably.
Is he playing in Turkey now?
He is.
Is it Wilf?
It is Wolf.
One more Palace scorer. Is he like a hard one, this one type thing? Is it difficult to get, would you say?
He might be hard, yeah. Possibly a bit of a clue to his name. But no, it's a fairly...
Who had an erection during the period?
it's a fairly...
Tommy Solid,
it's a well-known... it's a well-known Palace player.
Is he a centre mid?
No, we kind of he sort of played across the midfield, I'd say.
Oh,
has he got a big beard?
He shits himself.
Yes to Bob, no to you, Sean.
Oh. Jason Punchin.
Good one.
Punchin had a
good tackle.
Cryptic. It's now you've got three Newcastle ones to get. Good luck.
I've only just realised what you're saying there. Oh.
Was any of the Newcastle ones a striker?
I've never actually heard of any of them, so just let me check.
If he's got a check.
He's being serious.
No.
Have you heard of any of them?
Oh yeah, no, I'm only messing. I've heard of them. I've heard of them all, but I just didn't know if he was striker or not.
So none of them were strikers?
No.
Did one of the Newcastle players have a brief spell at Man United?
No. Two of them are gettable for that team. Bob will definitely get two of them. One of them is probably. Yeah.
I think Baines plays for Newcastle.
One of them's probably you're not getting both.
I think the Newcastle team around that time. I need
a player. That I can't remember what me into that team.
Yeah, I can't remember what.
Would that have been around Demba Ba and Cisse, Papis Cisse type thing? Would it? It was one of them Argentinian, Callum.
No. Do you want me to give you a couple of players from that team to help you along?
Yeah.
That'd be a marker. So, okay.
Preferably if they scored in that game as well.
So you've got Sissoko.
Is one of them dead?
No, I don't think so. Colaccini.
Were any of them defenders then?
Yes. Two of them were defenders.
Who's centre half partner with Colaccini?
I can't think of it. So I'm just going to ask, is one of them Mike Williamson?
Yeah, he was the one who was going to say he was impossible to get.
I don't know why his name just popped into my head.
Yeah, I do. G-double-O-G-L-E.
Is it actually him?
Mm-hmm.
I do remember him.
Shut up.
I actually do remember
him. He was the one who was impossible, the one I'd never heard. I had to check if he was a striker or not.
Never heard him as well.
I think he did. He was at Newcastle for quite a while, I think.
Yeah, as the caretaker.
It does sound like the caretaker's name, doesn't it?
Yeah.
So we've two more to go.
Did one of them go on to play for Liverpool?
No.
Is one of them scouts?
No.
You think of Danny Guthrie there, or?
No, Ryan Taylor.
Oh, yeah. 2014. Was one of them named after an episode recently, or the other way around? He wasn't named after the episode. The episode named after him.
That would be weird. No.
He won't have been there then, will he?
Who?
You thinking of Danny Simpson?
I was, yeah. I suppose he'd been playing for Leicester, wouldn't he?
Well, not QPR, wasn't he?
No idea. I don't know as much as Danny Simpson as you, obviously.
He was in that Real Ferdinand team, wasn't he? Like that terrible QPR team.
Was he?
I'm sure he was.
I have no idea.
Was there another defender, Cal?
Mm-hmm.
A fullback?
Yeah.
Is he Italian?
No.
Was he? So he's not. Are we taking he's not English or?
He's not English either.
I was thinking with Enrique, that was what was your question about Liverpool? He'd have been playing, wouldn't he? Or would he have been up to Liverpool back then?
But he.
Was he French? Oh, did he end up going to play for Arsenal?
No.
At Debussy, no.
No.
Can't tell what country he's from, Carl. Is he French?
No. Dutch.
What's his name?
With a J. Yeah, that is a Daryl.
Oh.
Yeah, Matt.
Correct.
He's right.
Good shout. One more to go.
I thought you were going to mention Paul and Oat.
Yeah. They've split up as well, the lads. Nah. I'm thinking of a Delico. I think it was Daryl Strawberry off that episode of The Simpsons of the baseball. Daryl. Can we cut back that in? Can I say that, Sean, instead? just cut out my question that wasn't a question before and put that one in about Daryl. You love that. And so, okay, so we've got one more Newcastle scorer, am I right in saying? And it's not a striker.
No. Although I think sort of very late on his career, he moved to being a forward, but he wasn't a forward then. He was a winger. An attacking winger.
Did he? Was he French?
Nope.
Did he play for anyone else in the Prem?
He didn't.
Can't remember also what was I actually going to say, you know?
I just carry on with that. That's what I did before.
Did he? Was he a really good meme from his time in Scotland?
Peter Lovenkranz.
Is that no? That you mean no? But this player did play in Scotland.
That's, have you seen the Lovenkranz meme resurface today?
Why?
Cardiff. I think it was Cardiff posted a picture of like loads of trophies with a dog. And someone tweeted to say, good to see his career picked up again. It was great.
This player did play in Scotland, though.
Who for?
Motherwell.
Oh, Jesus.
Was he Scottish?
No.
A foreigner playing for Motherwell?
Oh, no.
Do you want some clues?
Yes.
Right, I mean, I'll give you, like... So, he came through Newcastle's, like, academy. He's, like, a Newcastle, like, youth player.
So, he's English?
Well, he was born in Kingston, Jamaica, but he has split nationality of Jamaica English.
It'd be well before then, wouldn't it?
Was he...
Is he always in trouble?
Yeah.
No.
I mean, my next question was going to be, does he sound like a, does his surname sound like a Scottish team?
I was going to say that. Or could Park in front of him for a job?
Could his nickname be simply the?
No.
Oh,
I was thinking of Leon Best as well.
It would have, wouldn't it?
Do you want to know some of the clubs he played for?
Yeah.
Slovan Liberec and Hellas Verona.
In Italy, aren't they, for...
He also played for Huddersfield and Wickham and Chef Wed.
Wickham?
Was it a... Oh, no, there's no way. There's no way Chef Kikuchi came through the Newcastle Academy
from Jamaica. Can you give us his initials, Carl? Because I'm done.
R.A.
It was like a...
Is it another Ronnie Oli brother?
Yeah, we need Rockbusters, yeah.
That Rockbusters is hard for his name. His first name is similar.
Oh, got it.
You got from that clue, that was unbelievable.
Rolando Arons.
Correct. Rolando Arons.
What was your clue going to be, Cal?
I was going to say, so Rolando Ronaldo was going to be. Was that what you were thinking of?
Yeah. That's what I thought you were going to say. So
no, you didn't. I thought he was going to say similar to Roland Rat. That was the thing I was like.
Good shout, Bob. Come up with two unbelievable.
Good Google, Bob. Well done.
swear to I'll share my screen if I've not got anything open.
I don't think Bob cheats, to be fair. I don't think he could be bothered enough to cheat. But... No,
he's definitely got Mike Williamson's Facebook up, though.
I can honestly say I'd heard of Mike Williamson. I've never heard of Rolando Arons.
Oh, you must have done. You have now.
Well,
there you go. You have now. Well done, guys. Good shouts. We'll go from that to Tosh. Would you like to open out our M5 topic for the week?
Yes, I would, Cal. Just as always, we'll review last week's. So you might remember we had a special guest, Phil Devine, on to discuss the best headers. And it, probably to no one's surprise, the winner was Callum's suggestion of Robin Van Persie with his fantastic header against Spain in the World Cup. So Robin's off to the island to join him, see if he can recreate that against Jamie Jones in goal. So this week, where going slightly different, you might have noticed that last week we had John Terry, Ashley Cole and Andrew Cole all inducted to the Premier League Hall of Fame. And I think how many years have been doing that? Good few years now. So they're starting to get quite a list there. So what we've come up with this week is we're going to induct someone who we think is unlikely to be inducted. So we're going to be as creative as possible with that. So we're going to have to induct someone and give a good reason for why we think they are going to be inducted. Would you add anything onto that, Sean? Or is that the reason?
Yeah, I think that's a good one. Yeah, good explanation.
Okay, then. Anyone like to get the ball rolling? I'll go first then. I'll start off because mine links to, I suppose, a previous Maroon 5. So one of my favourite Maroon 5s was when we picked our favourite football snides. So my suggestion for a new sort of category within the Hall of Fame is that every year they introduce some sort of snide. And I remember, I think it was Callum who coined the term the snide ship. So I'd call it entering the Hall of Fame for snide ship. So there's lots of different categories. I was trying to think of like dirty players. So I was thinking of people like Dennis Wise. I think Vardy could have definitely been nominated on the back of this one, but he gets suggested every week. So I'm actually going to go for the first inductee for the Snideship Award. I'm going to go for Emmanuel Adebayor, just for the most iconic one-off celebration, I think, in the Premier League history and the most sort of, yeah, snide celebration of the run the entire length of the pitch to celebrate in front of the Arsenal fans. And I know we've mentioned it a few times on the podcast. I certainly remember a few times. But yeah, I think I'm going to suggest Emmanuel's going to take his place in the Hall of Fame for the snideship just for that, the amount of Arsenal fans he rattled with that. And then even afterwards, I suppose, joining Tottenham after that, just to wind them up even further. I think, yeah. A true snide, and I'd be delighted to have if he was the first member of the Snideship Hall of Fame. Can't really say too much more, to be honest.
I don't think he's going to be getting a coach to the island, is he?
God. Oh, dear. I don't know what to say to that one, Bob, so...
I do like that category, like the snatcher, yeah. Because there are so many. I did look at going down that route, but it happens. But it would be a good idea to start putting like Premier League villains in.
Good chance for Lee Catmull to get in the Hall of Fame as well, which, yeah, I imagine is that chance to slim other than that. But I just like the thought that I watched a bit of the ceremony last week with like Terry and Cole, both the Coles getting interviewed, and it was quite nice. And I just thought, like, if they just finished in the last 5 minutes, we're just saying, right, here's someone everyone hates. Like, them getting booed onto the stage.
That's John Terry, though, isn't it?
Yeah, John Terry could certainly be in it, actually, as well.
Yeah. He can open the snideship wing.
Yeah, that's it, yeah. He's, like, chairman of it because he's actually inducted properly. Yeah. Yeah, good call. I'll add that to the list. Yeah. But, yeah, any other comments, or should we move it on swiftly?
No, I think it's boss. I also just think if you had like purely just like an iconic Premier League moment section, that's up there. Whether you like it or not, it's just one of those moments in it that everyone knows about because it was like, let's be honest, it was quality.
I'm gonna say who apart from Arsenal fans would not have liked that.
Yeah, it was unbelievable.
Yeah,
even Graham though like, when when it gets thrown on like Twitter and stuff, you just watch it, just going like, it's so sick, isn't it? Even the reaction you get makes it even better.
Yeah, imagine
the effort he's putting into the run as well.
Yeah, I know.
So he's like really, really, really going.
But he's like showing how hard he wants to run, isn't it? Like, there's no way the way he's running is making him run any faster.
Like showing off a cartoon.
Yeah.
I think that's a good idea, Tosh.
Perfect. Anyone else want to follow on?
I'll go if you want.
Go on, Sean.
Mine's probably a bit more by the book in that mine's in for like footballing reasons. Probably not for being necessarily a good footballer, but for footballing reasons, if that makes sense, rather than like having a separate wing. The person I've gone for is a Premier League icon without actually being a Premier League icon, if that makes sense. They're so synonymous with the league for one thing they could do that nobody else could do. So the person I'm talking about is Rory Delap, who had what could probably be described best as an average Premier League career. From even when we were kids, he was like just middling through the Premier League. He was at Derby, Southampton, Sunderland, teams like that. And then gets his move to Stoke. Probably no surprise there because they were in the Championship, I think, at the time. Just one of those players, just think, yeah, nothing's going to happen there. And then, by all accounts, a training ground, just a little game they were playing of who can throw this ball the furthest, which amazes me that a professional football club are doing that in training. He played this game and Rory Delap just threw it like off the pitch, apparently. And then it later transpired, as if this wouldn't have come up, that he was a junior javelin champion, which you think would have come up at some point, because I'm sure he'd be getting terrored by the rest of the lads for that. Yeah, which again is obviously a skill, but he'd been using this throw throughout his whole career, but more so just as a good tool. And then it was the tactical genius of Tony Pulis that turned Rory Delap into one of the biggest attacking threats the Premier League's ever had.
That's generous.
Yeah, but for that time, he genuinely was. Like, there's not many attackers, you could say, that teams are legitimately scared of, like they were Rory Delap's throw. And this was coming at a time as well when, like, football was changing a little bit to, like, moving away from the big, barely strong centre-halves into, like, footballers and centre-halves playing out from the back and stuff. So when these footballing defenders even got the ball literally thrown on the toes on like the 6-yard box, they didn't know what to do about it. There's teams who changed their whole setup of their pitch. Teams moved advertising boards closer to the byline so that Delap couldn't get his run up, to which he then had to either curl his run, or there were some cases where he threw it from behind the boards. So he just used the behind the boards and throw it. In the same way, Tony Pulis used their ground, the Britannia, for the same, and he changed the way their ground was. He made their pitch really narrow to give him longer run room, and they also had the sides of the pitch, like the corners, open to let more wind in, so that it just played havoc with the throws, which I just think is so Sunday League, but the fact that he's doing it in the Premier League is just boss. And it's all from this just one random thing that he discovered his player could do. Yeah, and then not only was it like a good tool in general, like there were huge teams and like footballing innovators like Arsene Wenger who didn't know how to defend against this. So like I think famously the team that struggled most against Stoke at that time was Arsenal. They played at the Britannia 6 times while Delap played, and he only won once. And I think Stoke won quite a few of those games just because Arsenal just didn't know what to do with them. And I think it kind of changed how football, well, not changed how football was played, but changed how it could be played, in that whole horses for courses kind of thing, where you didn't have to play your way, you could play a different way and get a result against a big team. And Tony Pulis and Stoke did that quite a bit. It was actually a boss tool, because when you think about it, it's impossible to replicate in training because nobody can do that. So it's not like if you've got a player like, say, Salah, for example, and you go, Salah can do this, let's put our defenders in that situation. You can't do that because no one can do that throw. So teams are almost like don't know what to do. And then you even found that when it was against Hull, when Boaz Myhill, when he
kicks off for a corner.
Yeah, when he bottles it and kicks it off for a corner instead of a throw, which, like, that's what I mean in terms of, like, Delap being an attacking threat. Like, that keeper was literally terrified of giving Stoke a throw-in.
Which look, I just think, panic as he gets. It's like he knows he's, like, being stupid and he's going to get laughed at for that.
Exactly. But he knows if he puts it out for a throw and then they score from it, then he's going to get told off or whatever, isn't he? So I just think Rory Delap, considering those couple of years where, for such an average player, he literally had the biggest teams in the whole league terrified. I just think that impact means he definitely should make it into Premier League Hall of Fame, because he's, yeah, in my opinion, he is a Premier League legend. So there's my case.
Good case, Sean. Very well researched.
Good case.
Thanks.
I think as well, I think to add to the changes, I think a lot of teams got rid of towels.
I was going to say the towels. I thought you were going to mention that,
Sean. And didn't, I think there was a point where wasn't he wearing something under his top?
Yeah.
So we could dry the ball.
Because when they were away from home, they wouldn't let him have a towel or anything.
Yeah. I'm sure he used to wear something under his top so he could dry the ball so we could still throw it without sort of using stuff from other
So it makes you think, doesn't it? Like, you know, fair play to Tony Pulis, like, but you know, he spent one training session, they were just seeing who could throw the ball furthest. The next, they're trying all these innovations with the stadium, the thing. You think maybe if you just train them a bit better, they might have like been all right at football rather than like. Yeah. What do you reckon? Like, what? I wonder what else he was trying. Like, we've sourced the throw-ins. Like, you know, what else? A little advantage. Like, can someone like do something from like goal kicks? Like, you can't see you can kick the ball like into there. Like, it's just. Just...
He used to train in the at the Britannia, didn't he? I think a couple of days before the games, he trained at the Britannia, just in the width of the box, the whole pitch, but just the width of the box to try and wreck the middle of the pitch, but leave the wings like sort of nice and sort of ready, so that like the passing teams trying to pass it through the middle and stuff just couldn't do it.
That's
used to, like tear, that's... used to tear up the pitch. Just in the middle of the width of the box, stuff
again,
like that.
You seen it? I don't know. Like I seen it on Twitter this weekend again. It always resurfaces. That person who wrote their dissertation. Did you see that? Like so, it's something.
Mitoma.
What's that?
Do you mean Mitoma?
I don't know. Oh, sorry.
Doesn't matter.
No. I was saying like someone wrote the dissertation. It was something like about the you know the financial crisis of the 2000s about the link of that to Rory Delap's someone scoring from two throw-ins against Everton or something. And after off the top of my head isn't good, but it is quite funny if you see it. But I think that was a very well presented case, Sean. I was struggling to see what angle you were going to come from there. But I think you've as we said when you did Kevin Kilbane, I think. Rory Delap will be using that. I think he'll be presenting his case with that one. So fair play to you. Anyone, Callum, Bob, any preference?
I'll go next. No, I'll go next because it'll be short and sweet.
Go on then, Bob.
Because we've just gone from such a well rehearsed, well practiced, well researched case.
No, I didn't rehearse it.
You definitely did.
Yeah, you did. What's that piece of A4 there underneath?
To something I've just Googled now. I thought recently that a good M5 would be great football, great tweets from footballers before they started getting taken over by PR firms and stuff like that. Although I suppose you could include Viktor Anichevi with his tweet something like message in that. So I'm going for a player that is a bit of a... He's not even a street, don't forget, just a Premier League years player, but I'm primarily nominating him because every time I look at this tweet, it makes me laugh. So Premier League years, he played for Bradford, Middlesbrough, fairly extensively, actually, but then...
I know where you're going now, Bob.
Yeah. Scored a very famous playoff final goal to get his hometown club, Hull City, promoted in... I can't even remember when it was. Showed how much research I've done. So I'm going to go for Dean Windass. Had a decent career and probably popped up on quite a few seasons of Premier League years. And another one of the nominations we're going to go for was Benito Carboni, and he was a teammate of his at Bradford. But the tweet I'm talking about is, of course, in response to Jamie Carragher Fleming a kid. For fuck's sake, it's gone now. Found it. If you spat at me, I would pull your head off. Great Mo Roldal, and I have made mistakes. I was trying to rehearse saying that as you were talking, Sean, and just started laughing every time I looked at it. So, I think there have been some great comedy characters in the Premier League, and he's clearly not the brightest, but a bit of a comedy character, so for comedy reasons.
Have you seen that? You went off a bit then, Bob, I think.
Ah, well. Yeah, Dean Windass, a fairly extensive Premier League career, but my favourite thing about him was that great tweet about Carragher.
Have you ever heard this story about Robbie Savage?
I have, yeah.
I have.
Great, eh?
It is a fantastic story. Yeah.
So those stupidies as well.
Yeah. is it when they're in the, like, the players' lounge or something,
yeah, and Savage,
Windass wants to punch him?
Yeah, Savage pretends it, the people he's with is mum and dad.
Yeah. yeah, that's me.
It's there. It's the. It's just. It gets better and better. That tweet, doesn't it? Like just the mole roddle. And you think I've made. Even if you just put and I've made mistakes, it'd be brilliant. Just because there was just a mistake, but the fact he's actually spelt mistakes wrong is just like. it's just
and he's got another really good one. He's tweeted, "How you doing?" rather than doing, "Mate, are you okay?" And he's responded to himself saying, "Yeah, I'm fine, thanks." And spelt I'm I-N-E. Legend.
Quality.
Absolutely screaming in that playoff final. You can't
deny
that.
Well, great
what
goal.
A volley.
Yeah, I think great shout that, Bob. I very much enjoyed that. We were living that tweet. So, yeah, I think that could be a good contender. Like, it's a bit like, yeah, like Sean said, iconic moments, iconic tweets, reliving the... Rooney, Rooney could get in there as well, couldn't he? I know Rooney's already a member.
Yeah.
Rooney's had a few contenders, but... What did he say for Rooney to Phil Neville? What did he just say, like, shut up, I'll knock you out or something like that?
You're sending me to sleep on this.
Fair enough. Right, go on then, Carl, wrap us up.
Right, I'm going to go, I think on a similar line of Sean's, of possibly changing English football for a little bit. I'll give Sean's a bit of credit there. I think Sean was right. I don't think it was sustained, but I think this Sean's fella did actually change English football a bit in the way it was going, maybe delayed things.
So much so that he's now known as Sean's fella. Rather than his actual name.
Yeah, no, Sean's guy. Sean's best mate. But now I am going to go for a man who came to the Prem and I think definitely did change it and changed, I think, probably the way the Premier League was played from then and sort of how the Premier League was viewed. And definitely, as us growing up watching it, he was probably closest to how you would want to play football if you played in the Premier League, I think. And I think he's one of everyone's favourite players in the Prem. I'm going to nominate JJ Okocha. Yeah, of course, Alex Iwobi's uncle, which probably goes in his favour, eh, Bob?
Yeah, definitely.
So good they named him twice. But yeah,
so
I just think...
Good, so good he's ending up on the island twice as well.
Correct, well, yeah. Named him twice, get him on the island twice. That's the rule. But yeah, I just think he was someone who was like such a joy to watch and so fun, and we hadn't seen anything like that in the Premier League before, really. So it's like a talented player, and you know, you probably in another life his career could have probably ended up so much better than it did. It's probably a bit of a disservice that he's just a bit of a maybe got a bit of a YouTube compilation kind of player. Depending, like, given that how talented he was, it probably could have been a better career. But yeah, I just think such a fun player to watch. I think he did change Premier League football, and at the time things were changing in English football, and I think Okocha was kind of one cog in that wheel to how football was starting to be played in this country. And he's one of those players that made you want to go out and play football when you watched them, and when you watched what you could do, you wanted to go and give it a go yourself on the playground or whatever, or out in the streets. And again, this was a bit of a hard topic. I think some of us were drawing a line between like going for like fun things or a bit more serious or whatever. But yeah, I think Okocha would never, ever, ever be inducted to the Hall of Fame in real life. But I think he actually should, I think, in terms of what he'd done for the Prem, what he'd done for watchers of the Prem, and yeah, what he was able to do with the ball at his feet. So I am going to nominate JJ, a.k.a. Alex Iwobi's uncle.
It does seem that all the... with very few exceptions, it is just top six
Yeah, that's what I mean. Just yeah. Basically,
so,
won the league.
Yeah, ridiculous, isn't it? I've just done a very quick check, and JJ Okocha played Dean Windass at Hull. So
there you go, then. That must mean something.
Yeah.
Did Rory the Lap ever throw a ball to him, Sean? Or?
I don't think so, no.
Might have done.
He might have done, yeah.
Might have done at one time. But yeah, I think, as Bob just said there, it pretty much seems that you've kind of just got to have won the Premier League to get inducted into the Hall of Fame. But I think players like JJ Okocha were such like iconic Premier League players who've probably, if you look at it, changed the Premier League in a way, should be more likely to, or should be more encouraged to be inducted into the Hall of Fame. It's a bit boring if it's all just like United players and Chelsea players from now forever. So
I'm
sticking up for the little guys.
Yeah, I do agree with that sentiment, but I've got two problems. The first of all, the fact he's on the island, I think. What do you mean he can go back? He's on there permanently.
Yeah, he had a bit of a trouble. He had to come back. He had to come home, and then.
Yeah, and then my second one, when you said about him becoming a bit of a sort of like YouTube compilation, was that not exactly what he was when he was in the Premier League?
No, I just mean that. That's what I'm saying.
I don't know what else he could have become, because he probably would have been it if he wouldn't have been.
No, I just mean that he's probably as more talented than just being reduced to that, I think.
Probably, it is partially because he played for Bolton rather than one of the so-called big clubs that would have been more likely to get him on the Hall of Fame.
Is Tosh's point he wouldn't have played for those clubs?
No, I'm not saying that. I don't know.
I was saying in like another life, he probably could have played for those bigger clubs, but his career just didn't pan out that way, is what I was saying.
Fair point. Now, I do think you're right. It is one of them. The good point you made, I suppose, was it is just tends to be you played for Liverpool, Man United, and co. You do get on the island. Yeah, I was going to say you do get on the island then. You do get inducted. But
it also, do you know, like if you did, it's like a cult hero wing almost. That's a good shout. But that, I think that feels harsh on him.
Yeah.
In terms of like,
I think that's exactly what he was, though.
No, I know, but do you know what? For like our generation, he genuinely was like the reason who put him up last time? Was it you, Cal? But last time
Bob.
He got on, oh, with Bob.
Just because he's Obi's uncle.
Yeah, but it also was the person that like made you, like as Cal said. I mean, I can't talk because I think I'm like the opposite of Okocha in terms of like skills. But like
you were Steve Finnan when you watched Steve Finnan play, you wanted to go out and play
Steve Finnan now. But like I imagine people who would go to footy would watch Match of the Day and then go out and do all the skills and stuff. And like you see like rainbow flicks now, like they're popular amongst kids. Like first time I ever saw a rainbow flick was JJ Okocha. So like I know cult he is a cult hero, but I don't know. I feel like him more than anyone just feels a bit more. I don't know.
No, I know what you're saying, but I think Callum should have got pitched along the line of cult heroes. I think that would have been a good shout. I think that would have been, rather than just...
Don't you record, or...?
I've got a question I really want to ask again from any given Saturday, so if we are doing that, I'd be in favour. I've just realised we also haven't got an obvious one, so...
Leighton Baines.
He never wins anyway, don't worry about it.
Who's the Everton player most likely to get inducted to a Hall of Fame? Apart from Rooney, who's already in it.
Either
he can be the fifth.
Arteta.
Nah.
Lukaku.
Timmy.
I'll fuck off.
Okay, I'd put Kale in there.
Get Pienaar in there.
Okay, slightly different question. If you were inducting someone to the Everton Hall of Fame of the Premier League era, then who would it be? The first inductee into Everton's Hall of Fame.
Can we have Tim Howard after his speech the other day?
Oh, good call. Send Tim Howard, Jeff. All the nonsense out. Yeah, Tim Howard.
Big Evertonian wearing a velvet red blazer. That was good of him. Didn't think of that, did he? For his speech.
Yes, he was giving it.
He needs to show some respect, really, doesn't he?
Probably does.
Right, go on then.
Sorry, can I just throw out as well something to be aware of? Robbie Savage is on the island, you have to bear in mind. So, do we really want Dean Windass going over there?
Next week,
I was going to nominate Savage's mum and dad. So,
or just to catch it again.
I'm going for Neville. Neville, if that's what I'm doing.
Well, apparently,
on a different island. he's with Cal on another island.
Show some respect to the dead. Well, under Callum, you can just pop home from the island willy nilly anyway. So, the cotcher. Right, then we'll wrap that one up there. So, in our category of new sort of players to be added to the Hall of Fame, we're going to have Adebayor for myself as part of the Snideship Award, Rory Delap, Dean Windass, JJ Okocha, and then Tim Howard as for his recent Hall of Fame edition. And what was that? I don't even know what that was. It was some sort of soccer.
US soccer.
Are they all goalkeepers or over there? Do you reckon?
I imagine Donovan. All goalkeepers and Landon Donovan.
Yeah. That's Sean.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah. And Robbie Rogers, or whatever his name is.
What was that Bradley lad in the middle?
The one Michael Bradley.
Managed them. Yeah. Right.
And I'm Sean's twins.
Right then, should we get this week's game? No, I was just looking at it. Could you do a put Celtic Rangers in there for this week?
Oh, I thought about shows.
Celtic Rangers on Saturday, 12:30.
I mean, I wouldn't know any, but that's a good show, yeah.
Yeah, but we can talk about him. I hope he goes up to be a goal scorer goals like his dad, like his old man or whatever. Mention that one again.
Not Forest, Chelsea.
Haven't we done Forest every week recently?
I haven't said not this episode yet, so.
It is a fair point.
Wolves Palace. No, not all right then.
Cal's reading his book there, so he's got all the stats for Palace.
For the viewers.
Bloody hell. Do you ever not have one of them on you?
Sean, I've got about 1,000 here.
You take them over to the States?
Yeah. I'll drop them off at the island first.
Just think, Carl, in a couple of years, that could be you making that speech like Tim Howard.
Could be. I won't wear a red velvet jacket, though.
You'll have to, though.
Will I?
Yeah. Like the big yellow jacket or whatever from Happy Gilmore. He was given that.
Oh, right, okay.
He's not chosen to wear that.
I didn't realise. Ah, right, okay.
Did you think he had a squad number on his lapel? Because he had a 24 there. It's like inductee 2024.
Yeah. Ah, right, okay, got you. Fair enough, I'll let him off.
Yeah.
Is that actually true? I assumed it was his own jacket.
That's what I thought.
No, surely not.
Why are they putting jackets on?
It's a very American thing to do that, isn't
it? Well, you got one more episode, lads, that's it.
And the season review.
Oh, we're doing another one as well.
And don't worry, listeners. Don't worry, listeners, we'll be straight into a Euros ones, our Euros sequence.
Yeah, so don't go anywhere. If you don't see us for a couple of weeks, we haven't just packed it in like you want us to. Right, go on then.
Join the club.
What?
Doesn't matter.
Listen, lads, if you don't want to be back for season two, I'll be down at a football ground near you. I'll be picking up new co-hosts. Don't worry about it.
I'm in.
All right, me and you then, Tosh.
Pete Bock on.
Well, if we get into these charity matches, lads, Pete Bock will be there.
I would love to two-foot him.
You won't get near him.
I know, but I'm just saying, I'd love to two-foot him.
Yeah. Dad's a two-foot him on the bench.
That's where you should have been,
Yeah, I agree. I wanted to two-foot myself halfway through that match.
You could have with those boots on.
Right.
So good, that picture.
Our games are in. So the games this week are United against Arsenal, Wolves, Crystal Palace, and we've got a curveball this week because there's no more Championship. We've decided to go over to the SPL with the Old Firm. So we've gone Celtic against Rangers for the third option. Let's spin the wheel. And it's Celtic Rangers.
Wow.
This is going to be hard. Great acting there, lads. Well done.
I was on mute because I was still laughing at that picture.
Anyone got any opinions?
Oh, is that what you were waiting for?
Is that not what we do?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Can do.
I haven't got anything to add.
It was the women's one today. Who won that?
What?
It was the women's Old Firm today.
Was it?
Yeah. I don't know who won though. Just if you want
to. Does that kind of wrap up?
That's a real quiz, I think.
Yeah. Does that kind of wrap up the title of Celtic win?
Yeah. I think they played a few weeks ago, didn't they? Because they play every 3 weeks in the derby. But they, at that point, with the draw, I think it was in Rangers' hands, but then Rangers have dropped a few points, but they were always having to go to Celtic Park. But now, just looking at it, Celtic are 3 points clear, so obviously Rangers need to go there and win, really. Again, I don't think they've got a brilliant record there of recent.
No.
I think they're both sort of bottling a bit, because Celtic had a massive lead, and then Rangers sort of pulled it back and put themselves in position, and then now have sort of bottled it a bit, so... We'll obviously all be hoping for a Celtic win, no doubt.
How many games do they have in the season?
I think it's still 38, but they do that thing where they split the league, don't they?
Yeah.
Which I've never really understood too much.
Yeah, like that's very American, isn't it?
Yeah. But like, even like, I think, I can't remember which team it was in that bottom half, like the week before they split it, the game before they split it, one of them beat Rangers or drew with Rangers, like one of the teams bottom or second bottom. So it's like, there's no real reason. It's just literally for the fixtures, isn't it? Just so they can get that extra one fixture in. We only have to play another five games as opposed to play another, 11. But yeah, it's one of them. It's a bit dire Scottish footy, really, isn't it?
Mm.
I'm just glad we picked the game to go on the wheel.
The Celtic, innit? Got to support the Celts.
Also, Carl, I've just checked the women's score. It was 0-0.
Was it, yeah?
Sounds like a classic.
What does that mean, Carl?
Means there wasn't any goals.
Yeah, means it was 0-0. And now all eyes are on the men's one, I think.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, well, we'll have to sort that one out then, I think.
So also as well, isn't there? There's no away fans, is there? In them games now, in there.
Yeah.
I think they're bringing some back next year, but I think there's literally no fans, which is just a shame, really, isn't it? That's sort of the atmosphere is always, obviously, a classic one. It was Bobby who suggested that for like a sort of football and bucket list type thing.
Mm.
And you'd sort of want to have both fans there, wouldn't you? As much as like it would be good being Celtic and the whole ground to yourself, it does add to the atmosphere, but.
Are they allowed to sell it out?
That's a good question. I sort of assume so, but I don't actually know. Why wouldn't they be, do you think, Dom?
I just don't know if they would just have to have that bit empty, possibly.
It's the same if you think of Everton. Sometimes the teams don't take both parts of the allocation, do they? And Everton just sell out the top bit. Top so bit,
yeah.
I assume it'd be the same. There'd be no point in just having an empty bit, would there?
Once, if anyone out there knows...
Yeah,
right in.
One of our Scottish listeners can get in touch.
Answers on a postcard.
Is it worth doing predictions now?
Yeah.
Yeah, go on.
Right, predictions then.
3-1 Celtic. Rangers to get a pen, because he seems to get one every single week.
That's Tavernier to score his 700th pen of the season.
Absolutely ridiculous.
I'll go 2-0
Celtic. 3. I'm going to go 2-1 Celtic. Peter Lovenkranz's dog to score for Rangers.
I'll go 0-0 in solidarity with the women.
All right, get the number, Sean.
Okay, so our parameters still the same. So 450. Our number this week is 131.
Well, here we go. This has surely got potential to be our worst.
Yeah. This could be way off.
Your worst.
Sort of levels the playing field a bit for yourself, Sean.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it?
Could go Richard Gough again, Sean.
Could go Richard Gough.
Nah, it can't be on Rangers.
Yeah, you can't, yeah. You can't go Rangers.
What do you mean you can't go Rangers?
Yeah.
What's the point of the game then?
I've been thinking that for a while.
But yeah, for moral reasons, you can't go Rangers.
Okay. Right, have we got a song of the week?
Hall of Fame songs. Hall of Fame by the script.
See, we normally have a bit of a chat. Tosh is just decided.
No, I don't like that.
Because you just said Hall, and we also mentioned a Daryl before, so we could go Hall and Oates.
Yeah, topical too. And I'm sure they're in the Rock and Roll Music Hall of Fame.
Yeah, I think they are, actually.
See, it all comes together, this podcast.
I think Tosh and Shout's Hall of Fame was good on, to be fair.
No, I've changed my mind. It's Daryl Hall of Fame. But that's what we're going to call our Hall of Fame, the Daryl Hall of Fame.
No, we're calling it the Ryan Hall of Fame.
Come on, Bob.
Duffy next.
Right, what song then?
Mercy by Duffy.
Right, yeah. Go Privatized by Hall & Oates.
Sounds good.
And then every week someone's getting added to the Daryl Hall of Fame. So these features just write themselves, Sean.
Isn't that just essentially doubling up on Maroon 5?
Yeah, a little bit. You can't get too much. You can't get too much of a good thing, Bob.
Yeah, true. True.
I'm struggling, anyway.
Me too. Who suggested this one?
I've got no gauge on how long people play.
No, that's really hard, isn't it, when you don't watch that league often enough. So I want to go for someone like the Martin O'Neill team, but I've got no idea how long certain people play for them for.
You're pretty certain, aren't you, Carl? Do you want to go?
Well, I've got one for each, so someone might pick the same one like me, so I'm not.
I've got none for each, so can someone else go first, please?
Yeah, I can go.
Go on.
Yeah, so I think as we've all suggested, quite a tough one with the Celtics. So I've got three names written down. I'm going to read them because I reckon no one else will have. There's one, in fact, there's one other I won't mention because I don't know whether Callum might have gone for the other one. Yeah, so my first one, as I say, I'll mention in a minute once we've gone through. The second one was, I'm trying to think of a short time. I remember, I think Liam Miller, who unfortunately has passed away, I think, as well. I remember him joining United reasonably young, so I was wondering if he maybe played a fair few times for Celtic before doing that. I can't imagine United signing someone on the back of zero appearances. And then I tried to think of people who played for Celtic, but then were signed reasonably early down that theme. And I've gone for a bit of a meme legend himself or a video legend. I'm going to go with Champagne Charlie Nicholas. Just because I know he was signed for Arsenal when he was reasonably young. Because he spent a fair time at Arsenal. So I'm going to say Charlie Nicholas, I think. Yeah, that'll be my guess. What's the thought? If he went back to Celtic, have I got to have all of his total appearances?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh. I don't know. Does anyone know if he went back to Celtic? Or?
I don't know. But I thought he was a bit like a bit of a Celtic legend, though.
Yeah, but again, it's like the same with like. So, I think he was fairly young when he went to Arsenal. He talks about moving to London when he's fairly young. I mean, he might be. He could be way more. I don't know. But can I just say it? Just in his first spell now.
No.
That's well.
But then, if Callum does the adding up in a minute, Tosh, you can say, well, you've obviously got it wrong. You need to put your glasses on.
Well, that's why I was picking it.
Right. Oh, yeah, well, you.
Can I change then?
Oh, this is controversial.
Surely not.
Sean usually says about weighs up everyone's opinion before he picks this.
I think there's been times where people have had two spells.
I know, but like, that's like counting the two spells. But like, I think that's the same as like if you picked a player and you said he plays for both clubs, you add up his scores.
No, we're not doing that.
It sort of is. It's all the appearances in them two teams.
It's not, and to be fair, on Transfermarkt, when you'd look at it, it wouldn't give a total, wouldn't it?
Would it? I don't even know if he went back to Celtic, but he just strikes me as the type that he would have.
Why'd you pick him then?
I'd now doubt myself. I don't even know if he did.
Well, you've kind of gone for it.
You might win it, Tosh.
Go on, I'll stick with him.
You didn't have a choice then, but yeah.
Well, I did. I'll just say the other one and I'd count it up. I'm owed this, in fact, after all the robberies throughout the season. I should have got out of change.
Out of interest, who would you have gone for then? Just to rub it in when Charlie Nicholas is 700.
I should save this for when I've got another answer that I'm reasonably comfortable with. The other one I was going with was that Edouard. The one who's at Palace now.
Yeah, noted.
Yeah.
Put me down for Edouard.
I've got no idea about him either. Have I got to start checking now as well? Right. I'm going to find some website that doesn't include a second spell. Don't you worry about that one.
Anyone else?
Do you want to go, Bob?
Yeah, go ahead. I'm going to keep up with my whole theme. And I also nearly nominated this fella for the Maroon 5/ Hall of Fame just because he's probably got the longest name to ever play in the Premier League. Jan Vennegoor of Hesselink.
Yeah, I mean, I'd have no idea if he'd be anywhere near 131 or not.
His name popped into my head.
How many spells did he have?
I wanted to say it. Oh, shit, yeah. Did he go back after Hull? I'm going to have to change.
I'm so bad at checking it. I still can't even find out if he's played for two.
Right. Do you want to go, Sean, or me?
I'm still undecided. Carl, go ahead, you go.
Right. I've got one for both.
For God's sake.
Can I talk through them, Sean? No. I'm going Charlie Nicholls' second. Can I talk through them, Sean, or not?
Yeah.
Right, okay. So I've got one of each. In terms of current Celtic players, I don't know many. And I went with the one that I know of. I think he's been there for a few seasons. I was thinking of Joe Hart.
I thought of him as well.
Just before you accuse me of cheating.
It's okay. I've got him now for a few seasons. He might be near that mark. Well, I was thinking of, I thought everyone would go Celtic, so I was thinking of Rangers. I named Tavernier and Goldson for Rangers, but no other current players. I think they would have probably played more. So I'll try and think back to the Gerrard/Beale era. Former Everton player who I'll go for. He was like, I think he was pretty much like first name on the team sheet, I think, for a while at Rangers. So I'm hoping he played maybe 3-4 seasons. I'm going with John Lundstrom.
I think he is.
I thought he'd moved, to be honest. I thought he was playing in England now.
I thought I seen rumours of him running his contract down.
Well, right, because he might be a lot of appearances.
Again, he's probably but even if he's still there now, he was playing probably 2019, 2020, he was playing for Sheffield United.
So yeah, he's at Sheffield, weren't he? I kind of thought he was there, the kind of the Beale Gerrard era for a few years, and then he'd left.
It worse, saying like you're targeting, you went for Rangers for a start, and you say you're looking for the Gerrard era.
God, disgrace. I'm going John Lundstrom anyway, so yeah, we'll see. That might be too high now if he's still there.
Alan, could you Google Charlie Nicholas? I actually can't find on the page I look on Transfermarkt. I genuinely can't find.
Of course not.
It just all it says is one spell. It says definitely says one spell.
Flash of Shine to hack transfer market.
Honestly, sometimes it appears on the right and I can't actually see it. I can't find John Lundstrom as well. So I think we'll just have to call this one null and void, probably.
Null and void for Bob.
Like it.
Right, I'll go then. I've got seven names written down for Celtic.
Yeah.
But again, of varying levels of like how long they were there. But I'm actually going to go for the one Rangers player I've got who, again, I don't know how long they were there, but I can't imagine it was much more, even if it's like four seasons, I'm not really that bothered. I mean, I'm not really bothered anyway. But they ended up getting a move to Everton, so I can't imagine they were lighting up the SPL for too long.
Ooh, I know where you're going.
I'm going to go with Nikita Jovic.
The nice man. Oh, shit, no, I was thinking somebody else.
Who were you thinking?
Nacy.
Ah, yeah, should have gone with him. No, I'm going with Jovic.
What a 6 months.
Yeah, and what a 3 years of Rangers as well.
You do Charlie Nicholas, Callum.
I've just sent you it.
I haven't seen, sorry.
Do you need to do the others or are you doing the others?
No, I've got the other ones now.
Did you mean that fourth digit in that call?
Still haven't even checked on. I've got the Zoom up, so.
That result is just this first spell as well.
Did you check how many it was in his first spell?
No, I didn't, to be honest.
So you're saying he definitely played in two spells?
He definitely did have two spells.
For God's sake.
Did Fenagor of Hessling play with Dean Windass?
He probably did, to be fair, didn't he?
Definitely need to call this episode Dean Windass, by the way. Many name checks.
Mole rolled.
Right, results are in. Yeah. Two reasonably good guesses, two not so good guesses. In fourth place with 236 spread over two spells. So 105 out was Champagne Charlie Nicholas. We're going to confirm how many he had in his first spell. We might be able to change results. Sean, I don't know what you think about that, but
no.
Okay. Third place with 56 appearances, so 75 out was Nikita Jelavic.
56?
56?
56?
That's what it said, and that's what it says on Transfer Market.
For less than two.
Like, that's a joke. Can I get a second opinion on that, please?
Yeah, it is. Callum, it's absolutely worth you checking these, by the way. In second place with 94, so 37 out, was Jan Venegård of Hesselink. And then in first place, so Callum's the winner this week with John Lundstrom, who was 151 and 20 out.
I think it's so right.
Pretty good guess, that, Callum. I'm sure you didn't know that one. Right, and first thing I'm Googling Charlie Nicholas. According to
Wikipedia. No. 36 goals in 56 appearances. Jelavic had.
Jesus. Hey, can we add them together?
I knew you were going to say that.
Based on Sosh's logic.
Not based on my logic.
I mean, that's impressive.
if you can't add the two, it should be over one sitting. I've always said that. I said that right in the first meeting.
It is over one sitting? Is it all together?
Nah, no, like one spell.
So you wanted to say Charlie Nicholas' first spell?
That's what I was talking about. And I've just
We were just going for League Cup appearances.
He scored the winner in the League Cup final for Arsenal. Have you know that? That was the first time Arsenal 87 he scored. First time Ian Rush had scored for Liverpool and they'd lost a game. There's a fact for it.
That's a good fact.
I don't know it's a fact, but it came to the top. Oh.
Do you want me to put the
I've just wikied Charlie Nicholas's first spell. I couldn't find it on Transfer Market. His first spell, he had 117, so I'd have actually won.
Tosh, his second spell was 137.
Exactly. So I'm happy to have either of them too. That's a joke. I'm getting constantly robbed here.
Right, let's have a look then at our updated league table. 37 games played. Only one more to go this season. In first place with an unassailable lead is Bob with 106. In second, we've got Tosh on 90. Third, we've got Callum on 86. And in fourth, we've got Sean on 65.
Can you come third?
I don't know what I think I could. If we have 22 points on the next win,
I'm happy to go for
reckon,
that.
I reckon you should.
All or nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah, if I win next week, can I win the league?
Yeah.
He's right.
I can't do next week. I'm on holiday.
You can't do the last one of the series?
Nope.
Ah.
Oh. Finally breaking the record of being the ever present. Yeah.
Where are you going?
South Africa. The land of Stephen Pienaar.
That's right. So thank you very much for listening to this week's episode of Keeping Up Appearances. We had an interesting M5, some good cases. Sean put another emotional case forward, which was very well researched. So well done, Tim. I'm sure Rory will be looking forward to listening to that. And any given Saturday with some outrageous shouts. So well done to Bob. Give yourself a pat on the back there. And a turn up for the books and some controversy in Keeping Up Appearances at the end. Tosh's getting his jacket on and looks absolutely fuming, but yeah, I'm sure he has to take
I still don't understand what he's complaining for.
Neither do I, but we'll let him kind of...
What I thought was right, it was an unbelievable guess. I just didn't know he played for them a second time.
Yeah, that's
it's one spell,
so
isn't it? It's
no, because I've said that Adrisagana Gwai for Everton for his two appearances.
Yeah, but you specified that. I didn't think that should be allowed. Nah. I'd have taken them points off you as well. If I'd had a good point, take them points off. How many times have you picked Gwai? How many times have you picked him? As many times as well, Gabs less... Pedersen.
I probably shouldn't have said anything. But, yeah.
Say last week, heated. If Sean had picked Robbie Savage not knowing he'd played for Leicester, that's like saying, oh, you didn't know he played for Leicester. We'll have to add that score on. Outrageous.
No.
So, I want my points back from last week as well. I want second.
Sweet as if you think we should give the points to Tosh.
Hey, this meltdown is honestly, like, put this in the Hall of Fame. This is iconic.
Tosh and Benitez.
Okay, again, I genuinely, I'm going to stop now, but I actually should get 8 points because there was two guesses there that were both winners. If you did that, and then there's some jeopardy on the last episode.
So we can add the points together, but not add the appearances together.
I'm willing to accept that decision.
One or the other.
Right, come on then.
See you next week, guys.